Introducing the Faith Series, a transformative audio sermon experience crafted by the visionary minds at spiritnerds.org. Each week, we bring you a curated collection of powerful sermons from theologically sound preachers around the globe, delving into diverse topics that address the depths of our spiritual journey. This remarkable series has become a beacon of inspiration, touching the lives of millions of Christians worldwide, from faith-building messages to practical guidance and navigating spiritual matters. The Faith Series is a wellspring of blessing designed to ignite your faith and deepen your relationship with God.
In 28, you know, there were many voices in the Bible. I'm sure we have heard that before here. God was not the only person that spoke in the Bible. The devil spoke in the Bible. The human spirit spoke in the Bible. Multitudes spoke in the Bible. And so, this is John chapter 12 and 28. It reads, and I quote, "Father, glorify your name." Then a voice came from heaven saying, "I have both glorified it and will glorify it again." 29. Therefore, the people who stood by heard it and said, "It what? Thunder." Was it thunder or was it a voice that came from heaven? It was a voice. But what the people heard was a thunder. But Jesus gave interpretation of what he heard. 30. And Jesus answered and said, "This voice did not come because of you, but for your sake." Because of me, but for your sake. "Now is the judgment of this world, and now the rulers of this world is cast out." That is the interpretation of what God received, or what Jesus received. But what people had was thunder. And what are we hearing this season? A lot of people, what they hear... Oh my God. It was Reverend Tolu that was talking to me. He said somebody called him from Kenya and said to him, "Rev, please, we are ready to take you out of Nigeria anytime you're ready. Please, it's no longer safe to stay. They have bought tickets. They have prepared a place in Kenya to evacuate him out." Except you can hear the voice of God in this season, you'll be looking for a passport to leave. The nearest visa, even if it's Rwanda, any place at all, you need. You see, the voice of God is that compass that keeps you on a steady path, on a steady course. Your face is set like a flint. You don't look to the left or the right. And so, this ability grants us the skill to discern the voice of God accurately. And two, it intercepts the voice of demonic influences. You remember when Jesus had to tell them that he was going to the cross in Matthew chapter 16. Peter, in his very sympathetic manner, had to turn to the Lord and said, "Not so, Lord, you will not go to the cross." And Jesus turned back to him and said, "Get thee behind me, Satan." Jesus was able to intercept that this was the voice of the enemy speaking here, even though he was a friend. Three, it interprets seasons of transition. And this is where I want to dwell a little bit. Seasons of transition, because every one of us are in a transition. There is a movement, there's an exodus in the spirit now. But my concern, and also the concern of God, is how many of us will arrive? The Bible says it was only two, Caleb and Joshua, that got to the promised land. Everyone were scattered in the wilderness. In the seasons of transitions, there are many kinds of options that the enemy dazzle before our eyes. He shows you the path of least resistance, the path of compromise, the path of convenience. And so you see the transition that happened between Elijah and Elisha. Go with me to 2 Kings in chapter 2. If there's one thing God really impressed upon my heart, is this very point. When we are talking about the building of God, that God is, it is you. You are the building of God. And the Bible says, take heed how you build. Take heed how you build. 2 Kings in chapter 2. It came to pass when the Lord was about to take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind, that Elisha went with Elisha from Gilgal. I want us to mark these stop points. These are landmarks that each and every one of us must journey in this season. Gilgal. 2. Then Elijah said to Elisha, stay here, please, for the Lord has sent me on to where? Bethel. Where was the first place? Gilgal. But Elisha said, as the Lord lives, as your soul lives, I will not leave you. So they went down to Bethel. Now the sons of the prophet went at Bethel and came to Elisha and said to him, do you know that your Lord will be taken away from your... Do you know that the Lord will take away your master from over you today? And he said, yes, I know. Keep silent. Then Elijah said to him, Elisha, stay here, please. For the Lord has sent me to where? Jericho. But he said, as the Lord lives, as your soul lives, I will not leave you. So they came to Jericho. Now the sons of the prophet who were at Jericho came to Elijah and said to him, do you know? You know, these guys, it's for me, it's like a paradox. They knew, they understood what God was doing, but they didn't have the capacity. They didn't have the capacity to follow, to walk in that which they have heard. You see, there's something about a season. It's not just you have an understanding about the season. Your ability to lay hold, lambano, appropriate it. Appropriate it and it's yours. The Bible says you should pay earnest heed to the things that the Lord has spoken, lest he sleeps. Is it the voice of God? You could wish it away. Your mind can even drown it. In the business of your mind. And so these men, they understood what God was doing, but they were set in their own ways. But there was something about Elisha that this young man burnt his bridges and was willing to follow. You know, the difference between Paul, Peter, and Judah. Yes, I know that there was a prophecy about Judah. He would be the son of perdition. But there's something a lesson I just want to extract from there. That Judas failed following. But Peter, even when he failed, he didn't stop following. The Bible says we are not of them that draw back. We are them that press to the saving of our souls. And so Elijah was willing to risk his life on the word of God. And he was following his master. He knew a season had opened. And I want to say this, please. If anything you need to do to avoid distraction in this season, do. So he answered, Elisha said to him, stay here, please, for the Lord has sent me to Jordan. And he said, as the Lord lives, as your soul lives, I will not leave you. So the two of them went. These were four strategic points: Gilgal, Bethlehem, Bethel, Jericho, and Jordan. You see, it was at Gilgal that the children of Israel were circumcised. Their foreskins were circumcised. That you cannot come to the house of the Lord until you are circumcised, that your trust and your hope is in Christ alone. He circumcised the foreskin of their flesh. And they came into the house of God. And when they came into the house of God, that was not just the stopping place. They had to journey to Jericho. And Jericho is that place that you consecrate everything. Anything that is of the Lord, that is not consecrated, can become an accosting. Everything that is in Jericho is of the Lord. Nothing to be appropriated to yourself. Because until you get to that place, you can't get to Jordan where you'll be baptized by the Holy Ghost. Because it was at Jordan that Jesus, the heavens opened, and something came upon the Son of God. And so in this season, these are strategic points in our lives that we need to trust God to, like when Pastor Victor was leading us in those songs. He said, God, rid me. Everything that God needs to rid you of. Every form of weight and sin that easily besets. Our heart must be holy to the Lord in this season. The seasons of transitions are seasons of consecration. That we need to trust God to lay aside every weight and lay hold on the Son of God. And so the thought purpose of discernment is the ability to intercept seasons of transitions. The fourth one is the ability to discern the motives of men. Let me say motives. 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 Motives of men. Motives. If only Joshua had taken time to inquire of the Lord, he would not have signed the treaty with the Gibeonites. If there's anything that we need to trust God, is to kill haste in our spirit. We want it what now. Someone who sent a friend of mine a reference letter to sign for some, I don't know, he said he wants to travel and he wants him to reference him, and they need to submit it when? Now. I say, I bought. The Bible said, in quietness and confidence, there shall be your strength. Let patience have its way, that you may be entire, lacking nothing. You see in scriptures that the Bible will say, and God perceived, Jesus perceived their thoughts. When they wanted to come to take him to take him by force and make him a king, the Bible said he perceived their wickedness. Some of us, our relationship are just on face value. If it's my wife, my wife often uses a slogan, especially in the context of marriage, that thus said the Lord has become an old word. Is I see him, I like him, I marry him. If you go to Acts chapter 8, you will see an account of a man called Simeon the sorcerer. Simeon the sorcerer. This was a man that took the sinner's prayer. He started membership class and was inducted into our fold, into the house of God. But until the plumb line of the prophetic came and the apostolic, they was able to discern his motive. How many of us have suffered untold hardship because of relationships, especially business relationships? It looks good and we sign off our fortunes. Give me that Acts chapter 8. You see something? Acts chapter 8. Take it back to 16. 15. Give me 15. There's a verse I'm looking for. Let me get from my Bible. Let's start from 8. But there was a certain man. Okay, there was joy in the city, and there was a certain man called Simeon, which before time in this same city used sorcery and bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out himself that he was what? A great one. Jump to me to 13. Then Simeon himself believed also when he was baptized, and continued with Philip, and wondered, beholding the miracles and the signs which were done. Now when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent who? Peter and John. What did Peter and John have that Philip didn't have? You can see that in the building of God, no man has it all. No man has it all. We are all connected to supply according to the grace that God has given to us. We thank God that Philip had a large heart to embrace the prophetic and apostolic company that came to bring profit to that work. If not, the seed of Simeon would have compromised the entire work. Look at what Peter said to him in verses 20. But Peter said to him, "Thy memory perish with you, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money, and thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart is not right." I think it was in the Amplified Version that said, your motive is not right. You see, this gift grants us the ability to unpack, to unveil people's hearts. People's hearts are bare. When they come, like, you know, it was the people that the king sent to kill Elijah. He said, "Is this not the son of a murderer at the door?" And he held the door. Imagine if that gift was not in operation. He would have opened the door and his head would have been on the plate. He said, "The currency of the sermon is what we need for survival, for growth, and for fruitfulness. For us to really survive in this is to be able to discern the voice of God, to intercept the demonic voices, and to interpret seasons of our transitions, and to bring us to a place where we can discern the motives of men." And also, fifth, It gives us the ability to discern spiritual activities. Spiritual activities. I hope you remember when Moses was on the mount interacting and fellowshipping with God for 40 days and 40 nights. The people thought that he had gone and their time were being wasted. And the Bible said they turned to Aaron and said, "We don't know what has happened to this Moses. Can you invent for us a God that we can, you know, use in the stead of the God that he proclaimed to us?" And the Bible said that Aaron used an engraving tool. It could be a spiritual tool that he has used to craft a molten image. Some of us have used the tools, spiritual tools. We have been on that journey. But you have used that spiritual tool to serve your own interest. And serve the interest of darkness. The Bible says Aaron used a graven tool. And he carved out from gold and carved out a molten calf. And said, "This is your God." And the Bible said they ate and drank and played. And God was on the mount running commentary to Moses. He said, "These people that you have brought here have sinned against me. This, I'm going to destroy them." And Moses had to lie on his face, interceded for Israel. And whilst they were coming down from the mount, this is where I'm going to. Joshua said, "Is this not the sound of war?" He interpreted what he was hearing by his strength, because he was youthful. And Moses said, "No, this is not the sound of war. This is the sound of people that are feasting." Our ability to interpret spiritual activities, the activities that are sponsored by the flesh, the gatherings that we should not be in. If only Naboth knew that fellowship he was going to will take his life. Because they had to use "In the Name of God PLC," because that was what he was used to. And they lured him, Jezebel lured him, not knowing that that would be his obituary. There are gatherings that you should not be found in. That's what I'm saying to you. It may appear that they are calling on the name of the Lord, but behind they are bowing to the image of jealousy. Destinies have been aborted being in the wrong spiritual activities. I remember, you know, those days when my father took ill. He had stroke for 17 years before he passed on. And so my mom, in the bid, you know, her quest to always look for answers, anything that has the name of God, she welcomes it. Any man that bears "man of God, come to my house and pray for my husband." And so I remember there was this day I came home and I overheard them. I was in the room. I overheard them saying, "Buy Tasty Time." You know, how many of you remember Tasty Time? Says, "If you buy Tasty Time, we'll prove it is the blood of Jesus. He will bath with it." I say, "Bath with it." Jesus. So I came out and, you know, I just stumbled upon it. It was the woman was in front of me. It was one huge woman. I say, "My son, how are you? Can I pray?" I say, "Pray with who?" You know, I felt like slapping her, but for the fact that I respected the presence of my parents, my mother just said, "Leave him alone, I beg, please." That episode passed. You know, I saw all kinds of episodes. I remember another man coming, saying that he wanted to hold night vigil, that there's a spirit, a household spirit they need to cast away from the house.
Because my father took ill suddenly. We all traveled for the first time to the village. And all of a sudden, he was paralyzed head to toe. By the time he woke up, he was seven days in coma. By the time he woke up, he said men that had no legs came to wrestle with him. And that was how he sustained the stroke. So we knew that it was beyond medical attention. It was something spiritual. But to whom you yield yourself, you become the servant thereof. But I saw that we're opening ourselves more and more to the regions of darkness. And there was this man that came, he said he wanted to hold a vigil. I said, okay, you want to hold a vigil? I said, Lord, because I had discerned in my heart that this man is not of the Lord. Anytime I shake him, I feel an irritation on my hand. Not once, not twice. I called my mom and said, this man is not of the Lord. She said, you have started again. Eh? Oh, is only Bakari that is a man of God? I said, no, but this one, I shook, is not of the Lord. I remember he had scheduled to come for a vigil. Everybody was waiting. I stood my ground. I didn't say anything. I just said, Lord, if I be not your son, then this man can come. And that was the only thing I said. We waited for him to no avail. He didn't show up. In the morning, my mom called him and said, Pastor, what happened? He said, Mama, you get pastor for house. I know if he come. You see, you see, we need to discern, we need to put the lenses of God in this season. That there are places that are the depth of Satan. There are depth shrines of Satan. Synagogues. They are not the building of God. They are synagogues of Satan. And for some of us that are in the business of looking for what is not lost, that is always their bait. Even in organizations, some of you that work in organizations, there will be times when there are crises and the MD may want to file everybody, marshal everybody to do something. I remember I was working in a place so like 15, 17 years ago. I walked into the company and I saw everybody kneeling down. Place of work. It's not part of it's part of my job description to kneel. Everybody were kneeling down, praying. The MD had hired somebody to come do some morning devotion, and the guy was marshaling everybody, kneel down, turn to the left, face like this. I sat down, JJ. I said, what is this? I didn't know that the MD was watching. From the CCTV, he saw how I was sitting down. So he called me and said, Jonathan, you're a small boy. You have not seen anything. They are praying and you're sitting down. I said, sir, if we want to pray, let's pray scripturally. He said, what do I know? I didn't know that was how they exited me. They told the HR to exit this young boy quickly. Six. It grants us the ability to discern the body of Christ. And when I mean the body, I mean discerning your brother and discerning your sister as the Lord sees them. The Bible says, for many are sick, weak, and many are dead. Because they do not discern the body. You see, I was almost in tears this afternoon, this while we're praying. Because something happened to me. And this whole message is beginning to make sense to my spirit. Especially on this point. I came back this morning from a retreat, and whilst I was praying, a brother picture flashed in my spirit. It's someone that comes around here. We have prayed for him before. He was billed to go for a surgery. That brother had reached out to me like 6 months ago, telling me his ordeal that he needed to go for a surgery, corrective surgery. I think his spinal cord. I've forgotten about that conversation. I didn't store his number. But he reached out to me in soliciting for support. But I don't know how I lost that conversation in the trail of chats. But whilst I was praying, the Lord flashed his heart, his picture, and I started praying for the. I was waiting for the day to dawn so I could pick my phone and call. So in the morning I picked up my phone, I called him. His number was not going through. I called again. Eventually it went through. It was his sister that picked up the phone. I said, "Please, can I talk to Samuel?" He said, who am I? I said, "My name is Jonathan Araka from RCN Legals." He said, "Samuel passed on last month. He died last month." I said, "God. Died last month." Because you see, one of the ways you open up yourself, you open for yourself accounts in heaven, is when you know how to do good deeds to the saints. When you are zealous to minister to the saints. I don't know how that conversation missed me. And I said, "Lord, peradventure I've missed a season to heap up an account, heap up in my account." This young boy is dead. And that is how God. And that's why I said we should hold our hands and squeeze life. You don't know what your brother or your sister is going through. Because we're insensitive. We don't discern the body. I want us to just bow our heads. I don't know if God has been stirring a name in your heart. And you have been dilly-dallying. You have been procrastinating to call your brother, to call your sister. Lord, we repent. I repent for not being quick to reach out to my brother, to discern the cry. The Bible says, "He that lend to the poor, lendeth to the Lord, and the Lord will repay him. Blessed is he that considereth the poor." The Bible said the Lord will make his bed in sickness. He will not lack anything. That poor cry, that cry of help, we have failed to reach out to, because we are consumed in our own wants, in our own needs, not knowing that as you reach out, God reaches out back to you. Had to go and I checked the chart of the chart that we had like 5 months ago. I said, "Lord, have mercy." He was billed for a surgery, and that surgery cost 1.2 million. Yes, he passed on, but what was your impute? What was your impute? In Jesus' name we pray. I remember when Apostle's brother was kidnapped and a ransom was demanded. A lot of things, people were saying, "Don't pay. No, he's not righteous." He just sent the money. Eventually, his brother died. But this was one thing he said to me. I won't forget. He said, if I didn't do what I did and my brother died, I would leave with my conscience beating and killing me. That peradventure, that money would have saved his life. Hallelujah. And so whenever discernment is in operation, it leaves us with two clear paths. How many did I say two? Two clear paths. Every time you see discernment in operation, it leaves you with two clear paths of option, just two. It doesn't leave you with three. It doesn't leave you with one. It leaves you with two. It leaves you with following the false or following truth. It's either you follow the ways of darkness or the ways of light. It's either you follow the right or you follow the wrong. It's either you follow the evil or you follow the good. It's either you follow the vile or you follow the precious. It's either you follow the carnal or you follow the spiritual. It leaves you with these two paths to journey in. The Bible said that a man in the place of honor and does not know is like a beast in the field that perishes. Which brings us back to where we started from, where Pastor Victor started. Jacob came to that place and he said, the Lord was in this place and I knew it not. And I know that this is the spiritual state of many of us here. But many of us here have even lost a season of our lives. Seasons. Protracted seasons. Because we did not discern help that God had brought to you. I remember a story of a young man that was in dire need of help, and he was hanging on a branch, and he was crying, help, help. And a voice from heaven came, I am your God, I am here to help you, remove your hand from the branch. He said, is there any other person there? Because the word of God, the foundation of the word of God, for it to have effect is trust. He said, remove your hand from the branch. He said, is there any other voice? This may be the voice of the devil. But if not for that stone, the stone, what is that stone in your life, that memorial that you need to awaken again, that will bring you into consciousness, spiritual consciousness? Consciousness is life. What is that stone? Because that stone was the saving grace of Jacob. The Bible says we have come to a lively stone. That stone represents a memorial. The things that God had done in the past. And he took that stone. And that stone was able to grant him understanding where he was. If there's anything in my heart this evening, say, Lord, awaken our consciousness. Again, awaken our spiritual consciousness. May we come alive. Everything that is dead in your spiritual sensitivity, everything that had dulled your axe head is blunt. I want us to begin to cry to the Lord and say, Lord, awaken my consciousness. Awaken my consciousness in this season. May I not be blind as a bat. Open my eyes that I may see the things you're doing. Help me to interpret the writings on the wall accurately. Help me to read the signs. The signs are written daily. The Bible said the Spirit of the Lord speaketh expressly, but who can hear? The Bible says, Who is blind as my servant? Lord, open our eyes. Lord, we pray this day that our discernment be awakened. Let there be a consciousness that is awakened this evening. Lord, I pray for my brother. I pray for my sister. I pray they be alive. Alive, oh God. Alive to your testimonies. Alive to memorials. Alive to covenants. In the name of Jesus. Break every pattern. Every pattern of lethargy. Break every pattern of dullness. In the name of Jesus. Lord, we open, oh God, let eyes be open. Someone, your life depends on this ability. The next days, the next season, it's determined, is hanging. If only you can appropriate the download of God's discernment. Rupa sate la braskete, mante kaparasu salai, eperios kebrate kaba, baramse saleka, apesusa, briske pale doskebra, abebebebeskabrante. My God, sabababa, rupasita, lipo. Oh, Jesus, help me, help me. Sleep no more. Awake. Let Christ give you light. Oh, Shababande boskabrate baba, rupas beze libras kapa, Shababandras keprete kababa, ekombe sante la baba, rupas se sakapa, rebes keprete kababa. Descend the body, descend your brother, descend your sister. Oh God, Sababos Cabrate, Mante Cababa, Jesus. Apart from the spiritual gift of discernment that the Holy Ghost gives you, there is an unction that causes you to know all things. It causes you to know. You come into knowings. When you are before any man, you know. You know either to choose or to refuse. We want to trust God for that unction. The Bible says you have received an unction. An unction. Lord, let there be a download of that unction that causes me to know. Shababababo, Ruska brete kababaskate, Masa sababa, Rupa sesa. Oh Lord, sababa, you have an anointing. That anointing is made by the presence of God.
Thank you for joining us on this incredible spiritual journey through the faith series brought to you by spiritnerds.org. We hope these powerful sermons have touched your heart, expanded your understanding, and ignited a flame of faith within you. Remember, the journey doesn't end here. Continue to explore the depths of faith, seek wisdom, and embrace the transformative power of the gospel in your daily life. Stay connected with spiritnerds.org for more uplifting content as we strive to be the source of inspiration for millions of Christians worldwide.